But, you know, when I started this out, I asked the Lord which way to lead me. The Lord has poured a lot into me over the years. And so he kind of showed me, give a man a fish, he'll eat for a day, and teach him how to fish, he can eat for a lot. I'm hoping you get into this. Anybody that hasn't heard what we've gone up to so far, you can go onto the website, you go down to the sermons, and you click on the 7th, 14th, this will be the 21st, and you can get background and some of this stuff. So I don't have to backtrack so much now, because our time is kind of valuable. I'd love to go into a bunch more. 70 weeks in Daniel, it's probably one of the most prophetic areas of the Bible that ever was. You can get so much information out of that, and it was given to thy people. That's another thing that's important, given to thy people. It was given to Daniel about thy people. His people were the Jewish people. So he has the gap week in there between the 69th and the 70th week, and I'd love to go into that with you. We're in that gap week. We're in the times of the Gentiles. It commences again with the 70th week when he goes back to dealing with people. His people will be used during the tribulation to spread the gospel, 144,000. The church, you can't show me in there where the church is used to spread the gospel during the tribulation. The church has stopped talking about it after the first three chapters of Revelation. It's mentioned right at the end in about the 21st verse. It says these warnings were to the church because we're in this age now, and he's telling the church what's going to come. It's called time dispensations, where the Lord changes his way of dealing with people. I went through them quickly. You know, you had the garden, you had up to Adam and Eve, you had through Adam and Eve, you had Noah, and you know, you had the time of the law, and then you went into the time of grace, the time of the new covenant, the time of the time when the Lord changes to a relationship from the law. And people that I've talked to in Sunday school will know the answer to this question, but it surprises a lot of people. When did that change when it went from the law to the new covenant? It'll surprise a lot of you, I think. When the start of it was completed by Jesus Christ, why his time was here, but again, began before that. And I can prove that to you. Luke 16:16. You got it up there, Sonny. But the law and the prophets were until John. Some people don't know that. He came and he broke the mold that's going to make it to where Christ then set the relationship thing up and completed the covenant by his death and resurrection. And that time of the kingdom of God is preached and every man presseth into it. So that was up until John. It tells you right there. There's a time dispensation change. There's a time when John made the way. And right after that verse, 17, I even got it up there, but it says, but the law won't go away. In other words, Christ said he didn't come to take away the law. He came to fulfill it. But that's just an idea of a time dispensation that people, without studying the Bible, don't understand. When God changes his way of doing it, and that's why people are into replacement theology. You'll see so many churches don't even preach and teach on it because they don't understand it. I'm just going to be honest with you. And they're scared of it because if you don't understand it, how can you teach? And it's probably good they don't. You know, I was talking to a friend of mine that finally, he was a pastor, and I finally showed him all these things. He finally agreed with me. And he finally told me, he said, but it's a good thing we don't preach on it because we don't understand it. And I'm just going to be honest with you. That's what he told me. And after showing him in the Bible, he had to agree that this was right. So just to let you know, it's important you understand this. If you didn't get some of this stuff earlier, please go back and check some of it out, because as you study these things and get through them, I gave you Bible verses that say what it, you know, I believe the Bible says what it means what it says, and like Pastor Harris said, my thing is the whole context of Scripture. People pick favorite parts out. If you're an eschatologist, if you're a revivalist or whatever, if you pick one or two verses out and try and make people all enamored by that, and I've seen it done on both sides, everything. You can do that, but that's not getting the whole picture. That's why I tried to give you as much of a picture as I could give you in the time I had. The next thing we want to go into is imminence. Imminence is the fact that this can happen at any time. And my favorite one that people approach me a lot, and I have an answer for them, and it so many times shocks them, is the end can't come until the gospel is preached to the whole world. And you've heard that before. And some of them ask that with good intent. And other ones, I think, actually, because they really don't want to have to go there. They figure, I can slide out of this life before it comes. But let me answer that question to you. Let's go Matthew 24:14, first of all. We'll take the verse. Oh, 24:14. That's funny, instead of 44. Did I have? Okay. And the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached into all the world and as a witness to all the nations, and then the end shall come. Okay. And I agree with that. What they don't realize, that's answered one place in the Bible. One place and one place only. And if it had been done before, then I'm sure the Lord would point it out. Let's go to Revelation 14:6. This is during the tribulation. Now I saw another angel in heaven, in the midst of the heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation, kindred, and tongue. This is in the middle of the tribulation by the 144,000 Jews that the Lord goes back to using to preach the gospel. So when you hear that from people, it's because they don't understand this. The whole, again, as Pastor said, the whole context of Scripture. If you take one verse out of there and you try and make it to where, oh, this is a prerequisite, how could it be evident if that's a prerequisite? So the Lord answered it, and then the end will come. It didn't say his return. Now read that, the other verse that we just said. It said the end. It didn't say his return. The end will come right after. Very shortly after this. The tribulation is only 7 years long. So, and this is about in the midst of that time. It's very shortly after there. The end does come. So the Lord means what he says what he means, and there's answers to a lot of questions if you know the Scripture. If you don't know the Scripture, you're at the mercy of people that can tell you what they want to tell you. That's why I try and back up so much with Scripture, people. I don't want you to just walk away here believing that. I mean, I'm no smarter than anybody. I mean, I wouldn't have a handle on this if I didn't read it in the Lord, if I didn't study it, if the Lord didn't give me. I will say this. I've asked for wisdom, and he's answered some of them prayers, but there's a lot of people a lot better than me with that. But I'm just saying, and I'm not to toot myself up, but I'm just saying, he has poured into me, and at times in supernatural ways. I'm going to be honest with you. I told you about when I woke up in the middle of the night and he poured a lot of stuff at me. But you're hungry. If you take a step toward him, he'll take a step toward you. But to go into the eminence of the Lord, now we'll go to Matthew 24:44. Therefore also be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not the Son of Man cometh. Well, you think not the Son of Man cometh, okay? So he's going to come at an hour when you think not. Matthew 24:50-51. Okay, the Lord of the servants shall come in a day when they look not for him, and he in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Okay, there's another one that'll get your attention. Matthew 24:36. But of that day and of that hour knoweth no man, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. In Matthew 24:42, watch therefore, for ye know not one hour your Lord doth come. And Mark 13:32. But of that day and of that hour knoweth man, not even the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. And Luke 12:46. The Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, in an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. Kind of telling you, you better be watching if you be appointed for with an hour with the unbelievers. You know, everybody wants the seven churches, and the seven churches are told about in Revelation, the names of them in Revelation 1:11. But through the seven churches, there's only two that really don't get a condemnation. And out of these condemnations the church get in the book of Revelation, kind of makes you think that most of them ain't even going to go to heaven. I mean, by the time you get done, you know, the church of Smyrna, which is the suffering church, and nobody really wants to be that church, but they're not criticized anyway. You know, you see it over in the Middle East where the churches, and I should explain this to you. The church age has a trifold meaning. The churches in the book of Revelation, there's some seven present-day churches of that time in history, when John was on the Isle of Patmos, but they also, as many other mysteries in the gospel, they presented the types of churches that will be out there and the church ages along the line, used in progression, last church being the church of Laodicea, that's the last church talked about, and that will be the predominant church. All these churches will exist through all of history together, but it's talking about the dominant churches. So of all these churches mentioned, like say only two are not condemned, and one is highly acclaimed to be able to escape all these things that have come to pass, and that's the Church of Philadelphia, the second to last church. But that church will also be available. And everybody says, oh, we're the Church of Philadelphia, okay? Yeah. Let me tell you about the Church of Sardis, okay? The Church of Sardis, it's in Revelation 3. I don't know if I put that up there in order, Sonny, but let's go to 3:1, Revelation 3:1, if you can get it for me. This might take a while because I don't know if I put it up. But I felt this is important to get across. But he says the church of Sardis is dead, And you know why he says they're dead? This will surprise you. Most people, because they're not watching. He says they're a dead church because they're not watching. We'll get to there. And unto the angel of the church of Sardis write, these things has, says he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. Seven spirits of God, seven churches. There's seven spirits talked about in Isaiah, and we could go there, but we haven't got time. I wish we did. We could go through them seven spirits that's talked about in the book of Isaiah. And the seven stars, and I know thy works that thou hast named that liveth and art dead. Now I want you to pay attention. Okay, the next verse, number two, please. 3:2. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain, that thou art ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Now 3. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, what did he say? They need to repent for. What did he say they're dead about? If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and I shall not, and you shall not know what hour I come upon thee. How many people in here knew that? I'm curious. Of all the churches that you don't want to be like, we're not one of them churches, okay? We're not one of them churches that aren't going to get the blessing. What does that say? If you're not watching, you're dead. You're a dead church. And I'm just saying, we can make our point. And again, the biggest enemy that Satan ever put into it is taking all the blessings of Israel, giving them to the church. Therefore, you got to allegorize. That's what it's handed down from generation. Like I say, the Lord has a plan. 1609, Baptist faith was come about. They believed in you'll find this, the churches that believe in the most literal interpretation of the Bible, that God means what he says and says what he means, are the ones that preach this properly. The Baptists believe pre-trib rapture, and all these things are going to happen that I talked about tonight. The Assemblies of God believes that. Many other independent churches, most of the main lines, I got to be square with you people because I was raised in it, I know it, and I grieve for them. I don't find joy in criticizing a fellow Christian, but that's what the Laodicean church, the seeing church is going to be about, that you agree and go along with all the other people that are teaching whatever they teach, and you know, just let's make peace with them. I hope we can. I hope we can work in unity, and there's things we can work in unity. But it comes to this, we got to preach the truth of the scripture. You know, part of this watching is being a watchman on the wall. And you know what the penalty for being a watchman is, and you don't tell the people? Your blood will I require of you. Their blood I will require of you. You hear me up here warning you. I don't care to have that on my shoulders. If I know these things and I don't let you know them, that blood will be required of me. Lord, may be obedient. That's all I got to say. So we get into some of these things. Another unique thing I want to start out with, we'll get into the revelation a little bit now, because I'd start out when I said it's like teaching you trigonometry without the pre-math. Now we're going to get into some of the revelation in the little bit of time I have left here. Two studies, please. Try and get into a good teacher. You won't get it from a replacement theology teacher because they can't understand it, because they spiritualize like Ezekiel 37, 38, and 39. I've taught that in Sunday school before. Get into a good study on that. I've taught the book of Daniel before, especially the ninth chapter is amazing. It is absolutely amazing. It'll tell you more about church history and the build-up to Revelation and supporting Revelation than you would ever dream. Jesus Christ himself called Daniel a prophet, Daniel the prophet, the abomination of desolation. That's in there. It's in Revelation. It's simply an amazing thing. You need to get that if you've never had it. It'll open up your mind. But we're going to go to the book of Revelation, okay? And I want to show you a few things. Revelation 1:10. Now I was in the spirit of the Lord's day, and heard the behind me a great voices of the trumpet. This was John talking. Lord's day. Lord's day being the day of the resurrection. That's where there's a lot of rumors out here how that got changed about. And Constantine was a part of forcing it upon the people, the Sunday, but he didn't start the Sunday. Acts 27, they met on the first day. They believe after Christ rose from the dead on the first day of the week that was the completion of the new covenant. So they met on the first day, and they said that was the first fruits. So you bring in your tithe on the first day of the week, your first fruits. You pay them on the first day of the week. And that's really where it started, where the bad connotation gets Constantine did an awful lot of things wrong, but he enforced it on the people, and that made a lot of them mad. It brought down through history that he's the one that started that. He wasn't. I can take you back in the Bible, but that's another study another time. Acts 27, just look that up, 20 verse 7 sometime, and it gives you one of the explanations, you know, but I haven't got time for that. Revelation 1:11. Saying, I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest right in this book. The thing I want to point out here, and there's going to be more than one verse, is what thou seest. He didn't say what you heard. He will hear and seen later. John was actually showed the picture of the last days, and he tried to describe it. And how would you describe some of these things you've seen that you didn't have no more was about? I mean, you see something like we got in our modern day, and John seen it back then. He described, there's a multiple thing, a dual thing going on here. There is a spiritual battle. There's going to be spiritual beings let loose in the tribulation too. I believe that we ain't going to have a concept of it either. It talks about spiritual things that was let out of the abyss. But they're also going to be, so you're going to see some things that they've never seen before, but you're also going to see the influence on mankind and their weaponry and the weapons they have that are going to cause a havoc. But anyhow, saying, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, first and the last, and what thou seest, again, the thing I want you to see it. Write in the book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and Laodicea. See, their job was to spread this word around as a church. So he wanted each one of these churches to have a copy of this, what he's seen here, so that their job was supposed to, somewhere along the line, if you go back to the teachings of the church in the, from about 300 to say 1600, they hardly ever taught on this. They were told to. This was one of the things they were handed down to teach on. Church of Philadelphia was the one that constantly did through the ages. So if you want to be like the Church of Philadelphia, like I say, see the whole, like Pastor said a little bit ago, see the whole context of Scripture, not just your favorite parts, not just the parts that you think is going to impress the crowd that day. I say some things sometimes in love, and I mean it in love, that I don't think probably makes too many people happy, but 11 out of the 12 disciples were killed for what they were saying. And the 12th one never, because he hung himself because he was the betrayer. So, and then no, 10 out of the 12, because John got this. So it's 10 out of the 12. John got the revelation. They tried to kill him. They tried to boil him in oil and stuff, another story. But they didn't get it done because John wanted to give him, or God wanted to give John this. So, it's bound to be time when you preach the truth. Yeah, you want to, just like when the Lord does these healings and stuff and done all that kind of stuff, he wanted to draw people in. But you ever notice the ones he got the maddest is the ones that they thought that they knew it all, that they had the right plan. It was the Pharisees of the day, the ones that are supposed to be the most schooled in what they had, but they weren't trying to hear the Holy Spirit. And there was the ones that were open to the Holy Spirit, the humble fishermen, the humble people that were just in the laity. So, and again, emphasizing that what you've seen, to show you when John wrote the Revelation, he had to try and put in words what he's seen. So let's go to 1:19, Revelation 1:19. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things that which shall be hereafter. Okay, the things that are, he was telling to the churches. That's why he gave the present day churches of that day the things that are and the things that will be. So that's why he moves it on to that. And then 22:8, if you would please, Sonny. Revelation. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. I saw and heard them. I told you he'd say something about hearing them later on. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel, which showed me these things. Go on to say the angel wouldn't take the worship. I mean, which is the proper. You know he was an angel. You know there's times when Christ himself has come and ministered and the worship is taken, but when it's an angel, he doesn't take the worship rightfully because he's just a fellow servant. So through history, it's another interesting thing. Let's go to Revelation 2:8, please, Sonny. And unto the church, the angel of the church of Smyrna, write these things, says the Lord, first and the last, which are dead and is alive. And then 9, please. And I got something here that I understand. The two churches that are warned about people that say they're Jews and not are only Smyrna and Philadelphia. What did I tell you about Philadelphia and Smyrna? They were the only two that didn't get criticized. Remember what I told you about replacement theology? Look at this closely. I know that works in the tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich, and I have known the blasphemy of them that say they are Jews and are not. but are of the synagogue of Satan. But what's he calling the people that say they're Jews and are not? I didn't write this, people. I'm just going to tell you. So let's go to Revelation 2:18, please. And under the church of the Thyatira, these things says the Son of God, who has eyes like unto a flame of fire and feet as like fine brass. And then we go to 22. Behold, I will cast her into a bed with them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation. Okay, he's going to cast her into tribulation. Did I tell you something? I've come after studying the Bible for many years and studying this intently. I used to just have one view, that my view, and I think I can defend it, but again, I know there's people with very solid backgrounds that wouldn't agree with me, but that there's a pre-trib rapture. But I've come to believe that there's both. I think both sides are right. You read that, I'll cast her into great tribulation. That church is going to get cast into tribulation. It's going to be ineffective, or else why would the Jews have to preach the gospel? It's an ineffective church. But he's going to cast this church along. If you go along with the 10 virgins, like I said before, you got 5. They're virgins. That's the church. People, that's what the Lord uses to... They were eligible to be the bride. The virgins are eligible to be the bride. There's 5 that had the oil and 5 that didn't. What would they have that oil for? The Holy Spirit is representative of the oil. They had the oil in the lamp so they could see him coming. They were watching. They had enough foresight, I need this oil so I can see him coming. I'm going to be watching for him. So the 5 that had the oil had the lamp there to look and see him coming. You see the connection here with the 5 virgins and here in the possibility that both sides could be right? I really am coming. This is a personal opinion. I always tell you when it's a personal opinion. But I think both sides very, very well could be right. Then we'll go to 3:7, Revelation 3:7. And to the angel, now this is the church you want to be. This is the church that didn't lose its first love, that which is the Lord Jesus Christ and what he wrote in every bit of his scripture. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things says he that is holy, that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. They got that key. They're in control. Okay, and then go to 8 there. Or I guess 10, please. 3:10, that's what I... Because thou hast kept the word of my patience... His complete word, and also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which will come upon the whole world, all the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. When's he going to bring something upon the whole earth that'll try everybody that's on the earth? Yeah, the tribulation. So, he's again, you see why the Lord started opening up things in my mind that I started looking at his word. Not what I've been taught by tradition, what some people want to say, and everything else, but again, when I say I can go into a scripture. Scriptures with you and really make a good case for I don't tell the other side they're wrong anymore. I see you very well could be right, but I think there's two sides to it. I think it's a reward. I think it's a thing for watching. I think it's preparedness. I think that he's going to make them so some he doesn't have to refine in the fire, and others that have made that point where he says, okay, you boom, you're going to get taken out. Okay, and again, the Church of Philadelphia, the 2 churches I told you about that this happened to, 3:9, if you would, please. Behold, I make them of the synagogue of Satan, again, synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, again, but do lie. Lord says they're lying. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. So, these are only 2 churches this is in there about, this part about the Jews. The rest of them have condemnations. Gives you, read through the churches. I wish we had time to go through each and every one. I sure would. I would be glad to entertain that if I had more time. But we haven't, but believe me, read through them for yourself. These are only 2 that are warned that they didn't fall for this, that they didn't fall, and that because they didn't, it's a good deal. And it's a bad deal for the ones that said they were Jews and are not. So, I just wanted to bring this to your attention. Like I say, it's getting close to the time for question and answers. And like I say, sometime by a good teacher, get into the, a lot of things, and maybe this will come up during the questions, and we might be able to answer some of that, but we're in a time in history that if you know these scriptures and what they really say, and that God means what he says, what he says, what he means. You know we're on the cusp. I am not about to tell you that I know when, where, how. Not exactly. I can tell you fairly closely what's going to happen. But in the timing, we're close. The sign is the rebirth of Israel. That was what God set God's time clock off, tick, 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 for the last days. So you know whatever he calls generation in that time frame. That's the difference in the whole history of the world. When people say, well, people have been saying this for thousands of years, but never since way back when as the church been in, and it's actually about 606 BC, I can even tell you when, and even on up, that Israel's been their own. They've been in their land at times, but for quite a while. In fact, until about 70 AD when the Romans came in and just crushed them, okay? And but this is the first time in history they've been back in, and all the other signs that come about, it's not a guess, people. It's not a scare tactic. It's what the Word of God says, and it can be proven by Scripture if you want to take the time to do it. So with that, we're about halfway through, so I guess, Lord, help me here. Let's see what you got.
Amen. All right, we're going to take some questions.
Anybody got a question?
And I'll help guide it.
I was wondering, in Revelations 10, the angel with the small scroll, uh-huh. I was wondering if maybe you're given any insight, and obviously you've done more reading than I have. You're a lot more knowledgeable, but in Revelation 10, verse 4, when the seven thunders spoke, I was about to write, but I heard a voice from heaven saying, keep secret what the seven thunders said and do not write it. Have there been any insight on
when he says something like that, and especially in that case there is going to be certain things. Most the book of Daniel, he wrote in there, keep this sealed up until the time of the end. And we're in the time of the end, so you can understand it. Really, to take the book of Daniel up until this time, you would have had a hard time understanding. But you can, and I can do a pretty good say that. Now, there's a thing in Revelation, at the end of Revelation, he tells you don't seal up these things. But there is a few things in there the Lord is going to reveal as they happen in that particular time frame. And there are certain things that if he told us, I think it would completely knock your socks off. In other words, God did it for mercy on us, so that the tribulation is going to be a terrible, 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 terrible time. And already you got people that don't want to go there. And I think if you knew, and I think what he was telling him, there's certain things I'm going to let you know and certain things I'm going to hold back. Because the time that this is going to happen, the way it's going to affect people, and the way people are going to go and be crazy. I'll give you a little example. To me, in the world today, the Holy Spirit is starting to leave us as a world and nation, as the church in the dwelling of the Holy Spirit within the church starts to leave the people. In other words, how the Holy Spirit works today, he indwells human beings. He indwells his people. And as that leaves, you're getting less and less of the Holy Spirit's influence on culture, and you see what culture is going to right now, and you're going to see it's going to get worse and worse. Again, I'm always open. I'm a revivalist and an eschatologist. I'm always open. If the Lord would have mercy, I pray for mercy for this country every day, that it turned back to him. And if that would happen, the Holy Spirit would start to come back and people would bow before their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and come back to him. I think things could turn around, nothing short of that. And whether this is that time, we're close, but whether we could have another revival, I pray we do. But basically, it's going to get so ugly down here. I don't know if you'd want to know about it. I don't know if your kids would want to know. I fear for your kids, my grandkids, what they're going to come up to if the Lord doesn't have a revival, a reprieval. And some of these things I think would be so terrifying that the Lord, out of his mercy, lets you know quite a bit. But there's certain things that...
Because it just intrigues me, because he says, but hear a voice from heaven saying, keep secret. But don't write it down. So it's not what he saw.
There's certain things he kept back, I think, the main thing is trust in him. He's given you enough in there that ought to make you trust in him, but there's some things that he thinks, I'm going to reserve this for the people that's going to catch it. And that's my opinion. But yeah, good question. Question.
I don't know.
You need to take turns. That's good. We'll come back.
Yeah, that's a good question.
That's good.
Deep thinker.
He's hungry.
Yeah, he is.
Look at him. He's in his hungry position.
Yeah. Like,
get it. Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. Well, we record it.
The people who are of the synagogue of Satan are going to kneel at the feet of the Philadelphia church. Now, is that the Jews? Because they're going to
no. What he's saying there, that people that say they're Jews are not. In my opinion, is the people. And I've told you about the replacement theology and how it doesn't see this part of the scripture where they did see this part of the scripture. They're not going to get the honor. They're not going to get the accolades. They're not going to get the crowns to throw at Jesus' feet that the Philadelphia church is going to. So they'll be at a subordinate place. Now, whether I don't think all of them will probably get cut out of eternity, but there's going to be a large set of part of them that won't even be there. But the ones that are, they're going to be at a lesser position. Because you've seen all the warnings I gave it to you about watching and knowing. And your first love, it says you've not lost your first love. What is your first love? If it's getting into this word and believing everything that Christ says, and that's your first love. They didn't have that first love. They were trying to allegorize things. They were trying to, oh, these things aren't important. They're a hard pill to swallow. I heard that too. That's a hard pill. That's only if you don't trust. My goodness, you're going to be there whether you'd like to hear it or not. Why not be on the side of knowing what the Lord says about it?
Okay, so they're the synagogue of Satan, and they're going to be kneeling at the feet of Philadelphia.
You know why they're at the synagogue?
So they're going to be, so the ones that repent and make it to heaven will be able to kneel at their feet?
Yeah, basically the other ones. He might make even the ones that don't. Who knows what his setup's going to be at that time? Yeah, no, I mean, he could before, because it says every knee will bow to the Lord, and maybe he's going to have them part. Now you're going to bow to these people. Mm-hmm. You know, that I guess I can't give you a direct answer for. My guess is he could do it either way. I mean, every knee is going to bow before Jesus. I mean, whether you are a believer or not, we're going to want to. The believers are going to look at it as an honor to get to go up and bow. But they're going to be of the, what if the synagogue of Satan is, in other words, believe Satan over me. In other words, went the worldly way. What's Satan's system on this earth? It's a worldly system that you believe that over him. That's basically the synagogue of Satan. He can use it in all different fingers. He can do it through actual worshiping Satan himself. He can do it through witchcraft, or he can just do it through plain using this worldly system. For instance, I'll just give you an example. Somebody votes for my pocketbook over what the Lord says is his ways, you're worshiping at the synagogue of Satan. Be careful. I should bring that up. Be careful in these times. Because you know what the Antichrist's MO is? I'll solve all your problems. You vote, you put me in as leader. He's going to be a leader everybody wants. And he's going to be, his MO is going much like, well, as you lose the Holy Spirit, not going by God's precepts anymore, but going by, there's an individual, I'm your savior. I'm the one that's going to cut your taxes, whatever. I'm the one that's going to give you free this, free that, free this, free that. But then you are going to vote for me again next time because I'm your God. You know? So does that answer your question, first of all? No? Make it plain to me then. What?
You're asking, but
who is the Church of Philadelphia? Are they Jewish and the synagogue?
The Church of Philadelphia is the church. It's okay, the ones that say they're Jews that are not are the ones in the replacement theology, in my opinion. In other words,
I agree with that.
So they bow down to the true church.
Replacement theology just
is
quickly
saying they're Jews and they're not, basically.
Church, the Gentile church saying that they're taking place of God's people, the Jewish people.
Yes, completely.
Just in case somebody didn't know it, we keep using
now
that word,
you get
replacement
that?
Theology.
Is that better? Okay, and I'm sorry, I just misunderstood the direction of your question. But basically, the true church is going to be the Church of Philadelphia. The other ones are going to be subordinate to the Church of Philadelphia because they didn't believe the right thing.
Could it be something like they're going to bow down because they were serving Jesus the right way and the world was saying, hey, we have it the right way, and then all of a sudden they're going to recognize, hey, the Church of Philadelphia that loved the Lord is serving, now you're going to bow your knee because everything else that is going to bow its knee, confess with their tongue that Jesus Christ is Lord at one point. The church that...
And that's what I said to you. Christ, everybody's going to nail to them. And then he's going to give certain honors to people that were faithful to him. And that looks like that's one of the honors he's going to give the Church of Philadelphia. Is the other ones are going to say, hey, you were right and we were wrong. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so,
that's good.
You know, that's why I say we need to strive. Does that get it?
Yeah.
I want to make sure you got it, because I don't want to leave you. Okay, you got it now?
Yeah. Amen. Okay. It's kind of like a revival.
Yeah,
really.
There you go.
Like all of a sudden, we're all serving. For example, let's say this church is serving the Lord, and our city, we have a whole bunch of people that are not serving the Lord. Then all of a sudden, this revival comes, the Spirit of God comes, and they're not necessarily bowing down to us, but they're saying, we were wrong.
You
we
want to
follow Jesus
yep.
like you are. That yes. kind of thing, maybe?
Yep, that's good.
Has the Lord given you any insight on America? Are they involved at all in the end times?
That's a good one. That's a good one, and yes, I believe he has. That's why I wish I had more.
Just the Midwest.
Ezekiel 38, what?
Just the Midwest.
Yeah.
No coasts, no.
Ezekiel 37, 38, and 39, amazing prophecy. If you take it for what it says, and says what I mean. Israel comes back into a nation. I told you they were split, and they come back as one. They get the Ezekiel war. To me, this is my, after studying this many years, my rundown on what's going to happen, okay? I'm going to give you my rundown. There's soon, right on the horizon, and I'm not sure if I'm real careful to know if the rapture is going to be right before this war happens or right after. There's going to be a war in which Russia, Iran, the Muslim countries, combined the Northern African countries, it names the countries right to the name. There's one surprising country in there, and I wish I had trouble going there, or time to go into there. But it's basically measures Tagarma. Tagarma is Turkey. The ancient migratory, it starts with the migratory patterns of the book, people in Genesis. There was a tribe of Magog in Genesis. There's a tribe of Tagarma. There was all these tribes, and they followed their migratory patterns. The Magog people originally went to Turkey, but then they went up in north into around what's now Moscow area, into the. And if you look at it, it says straight to north of Israel, these people come. If you put an aspis down, Moscow runs a straight line straight north of Israel. And this is the first time in history they're allied with Iran. They've never allied with Iran before. It said Persia is the ancient name for Iran. Persia and this country will get together in the last days, allied with many of the countries right around Syria, Pushkut, Libya, Northern African Muslim countries. They're all going to come against Israel. They're all coming up to crush. They're going to crush you. They get so frustrated they can't do nothing with them. So they come, and Tarshish. Tarshish is a tin that they found in England years ago. Used to ship it over. Some of it in northern Spain, but it's the Tarshish and all your young lions. Who's all your young lions? Who came out of Tarshish? Who came out of England? Young lions, United States, Australia, are all young lions of them. You know what they're going to say when this happens? Oh, you've come to take a spoil? You can see this happening nowadays. Russia invades. They don't want to get into it. So they say, geez, what are you doing here? Sheba and Dedan, too. Sheba and Dedan is Saudi Arabia, kind of the neutral Muslim countries that really don't want to get in. They don't like Iran. They even names them, and they said they'll stand on the side and say about the same thing. I'm not going to get into this. But the rest of these countries, the Lord intervenes in that one directly. He takes them back, and he says he drives Russia all the way back into their own country. And he says, and he makes it clear that he's the one that's going to do it, because he said, then they'll know that I'm the Lord that does things. You ask about the United States, again, other than the young lions. Go to Ezekiel 39:6. And in that, I don't know if you have that. Sonny, is that hard to get to Ezekiel 39:6 up there? I didn't know this question was coming up, right? I had it up there already. But 39:6, and I'm going to point something out this to you in this. I told Pastor Harris about it. But Ezekiel 39:6 has got a profound thing that caught my attention. After they drive them back up there, I think the United States rethinks it. This is not a good thing. And I will send a fire upon Magog, that Russia, and among them that dwell carelessly in the isles, that they shall know that I am the Lord. Carelessly in the isles. In that day of way of thinking, if you look back in that original writing of that, carelessly in the isles, I was across the water. Removed by water is what they mean by isle. So you got a nation that's living carelessly. I think there's a nuclear exchange. That's my opinion. But I think I will send fire upon Magog. This is after Russia's driven back. They still, their nuclear arsenal is amazingly large. they could be driven back and still have a lot of nuclear weapons. And so it's my opinion that this very well could be the United States in exchange between the United States and Russia.
Can I read that verse in NLT?
Yeah.
Okay, 39:6, and I will rain down fire on Magog and all your allies who live safely on the coasts. Then they will know that I am the Lord.
Live safely on the coast. Is America afraid of anybody, really? I mean, they think, Lord, I love this country. And sometime I'd like to do a teaching on the American, where we're at, where we went wrong. But it's a country I love, but we made some mistakes, and by us spitting in the face of God is going to be our demise. Yeah. And I think if this is his way of putting us in our place. And I'm sad to say these things. But I look at Scripture, and I put my first allegiance to God and what the Lord tells me through these things. After that, you know, I like to think that we're going to have reprieves. I think the Lord will only go so far. He's proven. Israel always thought they would be exempt from all these things too. Read the history of Israel back in the old days. They were the chosen people then. Over and over again, the only way he could reach them is to bring them to complete devastation. It's sad. I wish. That's why I'm here tonight talking to you guys. This is why when Pastor Harris asked me to do this, I was so anxious to do it, because I'm here to be that watchman to warn you so we can turn this around. There's one thing that will turn around is prayer and turning back to the Lord. It's you talking to each and everybody you know about these things and getting them into prayer and turning this around, a change of hearts in this country. Otherwise, if I stay silent, you stay silent, everybody stays silent, we're going faster and faster down that way. That's if right. I can, if nothing else, I ain't out to scare you, I'm out to tell you what the Word says, but if it does scare anybody and they can go out and pray about these things, they can see the urgency of preaching them in the churches and teaching them in the churches, and they can see that this is the only thing that's going to bring us to revival. America's fat and happy. We need to be reached in a different way than the kingdoms of the world. We need to be the other nations of the world, because we need to know that what we have in nuclear weapons and force and power and all this supposed wealth, even though we're $22 trillion in debt, we're vulnerable to the Lord and what he says is going to happen. And if it saves, like I said, if 60% of the children born tomorrow are all going to hell, where does the Lord stop that? 50% in 10 years, 40% in 20 years. Where does the Lord say, man, 70, 80% of all children born tomorrow are going to hell. Where does he say, I haven't been able to reach him otherwise? He knows. Now, don't. When I say I haven't been able to reach him, he's trying, but he's a gentleman. He ain't going to force himself on you. He ain't going to force himself on you. He'll let you have your way. He'll let you take yourself straight to hell if you want to. He will.
Amen. Is that a good answer? That was a good answer. Amen. So, basically, what we're seeing now in America, right, with churches being idle, just chill, like we're just sitting around not doing what
that's
we're supposed to be
doing. That's
why
it takes the good news and the bad news, but you've got to balance them. You've got to let know the Lord is love. But see, what the trouble is, the world's opinion of love and what God's opinion of love is two different things. Love is for your betterment. Love is for your kid. If he goes into a light socket, if you got to smack him, if you can just barely get there and knock him down, that's love. If he's going out to run out in the street, if it's taking a dive for him, he breaks his arm, that you dive for him, that's love. It's not letting him run on that street in front of a truck.
And not only that, the United States has been pushing God out of the country.
Yeah.
And like you said, he's a gentleman, so yeah, he's
going to
say,
bye. He'll let you do it. But you know whose responsibility is that it doesn't happen any more than it has to? Even if you have to say things to scare him, just like say to your kid, if you got to tell your kid that he's going to get some horrific thing happen to him if he does something again, if you're going to save him from a car accident, if he comes home drunk one night, and you tell him, if you ever do that again, you'll never drive this car all the time through there. Now, which is the greater love, to say, oh, yeah, I understand. You go ahead next Saturday night. Hope you don't get too drunk.
Right.
You know, so.
Right. But, coming out now, you're preaching. You're not teaching, you're preaching. Come on now. That's good. I saw another hand back here at one point. Okay. Then we'll go back to the front. We have enough for probably two-ish questions. Depends how big they are.
Okay. In Revelations 2:20, it refers to Jezebel. I'm just trying to figure out for, you know, today's church or this church and Jezebel, because mm-hmm. she was a...
Yeah. The Jezebel spirit is a seducing spirit, pulling people into the worldly seductions, pulling the people into the things of the world. And in this world, and I'll just be square with you, a lot of it's sexual. But it can be other things too. But there's a seduction. You've probably seen these things about these pedophiles and stuff lately. The enemy has a way of making what God made for wholesome into something that can be the most grotesque, ugly thing you'd ever see. The enemy can make that happen up to our will to let it happen. He can't make anything happen. The Lord is going to stop. But you know how he stops that is for us to rise up again, the church to rise up, the people to rise up, because his power can overcome it. You ain't going to overcome it in your flesh, and especially if you accept it, if you go along with it. All it takes is going along with these things or ignoring them for them to come. But the spirit of Jezebel is a seducing spirit, a spirit that would seduce you to make you, and it finally what it ends up in is that you won't even know right from wrong. You read the first chapter of Revelation, of Romans, read the first chapter, you get down to a place where he turns people over to a reprobate mind. He turns them over to a reprobate. What does that mean? They forgot right and wrong. They're going to go along with it because they don't no longer know right from wrong. They pursue it almost. They accept it because they can't. They've lost their center of right and wrong. Jezebel's spirit has got a lot to do with it. Jezebel's spirit is a spirit that overpowers you to the point that you accept things, you go along with things, and you even do things that you absolutely would have never done before because it's such a strong seducing spirit.
Sounds a lot like America.
Yeah. And
fortunately.
Yep. Yeah, you know, pray for this. If I can leave you, a few things, pray for this country, because without the prayers of a righteous person availeth much. So keep praying. Did you have, okay. Anybody else have any questions?
Anyone else? Anyone? Anybody?
So I was wondering, there's obviously a lot of symbology and reference to the number 12 and number 7.
Mm-hmm.
For reasons I'm not completely sure of or maybe just unaware of.
Yeah.
Have you found correlation between the trumpets or what a deeper meaning to a reference to the trumpet? Because it refers way back in the book of Joshua when they're going to overtake the walls of Jericho.
Mm-hmm.
And they do similar things before they take down the walls. You know, they march for 7 days, blow the 7 trumpets, and, you know, and then they take it. And it says that it was immediate, and they walk straight in. So there's obviously no rubble or whatnot for them to, you know, not get into the city. But it says in word it went straight in. They went straight in. So is there correlation to this?
Yeah.
Into
there is.
Revelation.
The number 7 is completion or perfection. It deals with completion or perfection. So 7 times 7, 7 this, 7 that. He's done with that set. 7 is completion. 7 7 days, you know, when he created the world, he rested on the 7th day, but he was 7 days. 7 is completion and perfection. 12 is the number of teachings, is the number of complete teaching. In other words, there was 12 tribes, there was 12 apostles, and it's the complete package that he used to teach something. In other words, I'm going to go through the 12 and the 12 here. Now, as far as the trumpets, yes, it's an announcement. It's a take. When he comes back, in John, in Revelation, the 4th chapter, the beginning of the, and that's what I say, that it's another sign of the rapture. John hears a trumpet. Well, if you look in there, it's like a voice that sounds like a trumpet, really is what it says. And when Jesus comes back to catch people in the air, it says he'll come up hither. He's going to sound, it says it's going to be the sound like a trumpet when he says that. It's very much the trumpet represents that this is an announcement that's clear, and you're going to know, I'm now done something. This is going to be it. So yeah, the trumpet has a, you know, somebody calls Revelation, they blow a trumpet. In other words, everybody gather. You know, it's a sounding that you better take attention to because this is the way it's going to be. And again, the numbers have, 6 is the number of man, 7 is the number of completion, or some say perfection, and the world, he said this is good when he got done before mankind and the enemy.
I just found it intriguing because there's a lot of reference to it, but it's hearing.
Yeah, in the hearing of the trumpet. He's going to want to make sure that you know.
If you're watching.
Yes, it's a notification. The trumpet is a notification that this is what it's going to be. There's no whisper to it. There's no, it's not going to catch you unaware. It's going to catch you in a bold manner that this is going to be blown. The angels are given flight when the trumpet blows. They know that's it. You know, they obey every command, and that's the command he's going to do, just like when he said, come up hither. And it said it'll be a voice like the sound of a trumpet. So, yeah, it's a command.
Awesome. Let's do one more. One more question.
Better get one.
Make it amazing. Anyone? Oh, okay. One question back there. All right. Is it amazing? Oh, yeah. Miss Chris got something amazing.
So the trumpet or the call come up hither, mm-hmm. but that will only be heard by believers who will go.
I believe so. I believe that
everybody won't hear it.
Yeah, I think they'll wonder what's going on. I think naturally a mysterious thing to them. But see, I think, and again, this is my opinion, but I think I could back it up by some scripture, is the rest of people will make excuses for it, that was getting rid of some evil people, the people that are messing our problem, making our whole problem. These people here, I'm glad they're out of the way. These people here are causing all of our problems. And I think they won't, you would say, well, if they've seen that, and the reason I'm explaining this, why don't they react and change their ways? I think they'll say, well, these are the people that are stopping us from having abortions. These are the people that were not wanting us to worship the trees out here. These are the people that had all them goofy ideas. Because you got to remember, and Ick, when you think this is a holdout for time, it isn't, because it could change as fast as change like this. You could see a coldness in this world as soon as that Holy Spirit gets to a certain point where the church dries off. You could see a coldness. This world comes so much that you won't hardly be able to walk down the street and tell you, maybe you're a Christian, and you'll be persecuted because they'll think you're so strange and crazy. You believe in them. You know, it goes back to the very first human sin. Well, all the sins. If you look at all the major sins in the Bible are out of pride. Satan got kicked out of heaven for pride. I will be like the Most High. Well, what was Eve's downfall? You can be like a god. You can know good from evil. Did God really tell you this stuff? And that's where we're at in society, as the enemy's taken over and over. He's using that same sin. And when they say people will be blinded, they're so blind that they can't see it. It's obvious to you if you're a born-again Christian. But to them, they think they're their own god. I mean, if you know, when I get an a discussion is a better word. The discussion with my liberal friends, I says, here's what the deal is. I says, as long as you keep the same God you got, I'm not going to convince you. I got a different God than you got. And I base my opinions and my way of voting, my way of thinking of things, that the Lord knows more than I do. So I could go to one that I thought was going to do me a bigger favor if I voted for them. But then I'd be dependent on that man or woman. So what I'm going to do is vote the one that most closely lines up. And there ain't going to be a perfect one out there, people. They're all flawed. But I go up the one that don't want to kill babies. I go with the one that says the sanctity of the marriage is holy because God said it's holy. I go with the ones that back Israel because I believe that says what it says in the Bible, I'll bless them a blessing and curse them a curse thing. And so I go with that, and then I say, Lord, you take care of me. I voted there. This guy's going to increase my taxes if that's what it would be. I know, I'm saying that. Let's say $10,000 a year. But you supply that $10,000. You give it to me, Lord. So I can be obedient to the government and to the point where they make me do something ungodly. But I believe in being up to that point obedient to the government because I'm commanded to be. I served in the military. Proud of it. But I put my trust in the Lord. And that's why I base my vote on, not because I think some party, some man or woman, don't care what color they are, I don't care what sex they are. There are certain problems I have with some ways that they're defining sexes now, but I mean, man or woman. But I wouldn't, one of them wouldn't probably go by the rest of God's ways anyhow. So he's giving me an out there. But what I'm saying is I go by the one that's most closely lined up with the Lord. And then I say, Lord, you take care of me. I'm putting my trust in you. This man, this woman, this party, what are they? They're looking out for themselves. If you don't have God as your God, you're your God. That's what they're going to look out for. They're going to look out. In the end, you see them driving fancier and fancier cars and everything else. And if their re-election can get on the re-elected by promising all your money to somebody up here, they'll do it. Or somebody over there, don't care where it is, they'll do it. They don't care about it. If they can gain 10 votes over here and take it from you, if you got more than these 10. You know, my daughter was in college. She calls me one day way back when. I mean, she's been out of college now for what, 18 years, 15 years. And she called me and said, Dad, all these people here are telling me that if we had voted for such and such of these people, that it would be so much better for us. They're going to give all these handouts out. I says, this way, honey. I says, you're on the dean's list. I says, so what did you have to do to get there? Oh, Dad, I studied. I stayed up all night and everything like that. And I said, so you do that for a test and everything. I said, you go to take your test. This guy over here doesn't study. He goes to parties and everything. He gets an F. You get an A, and the teacher says, Stephanie, I'm going to give him a C and you a C because it just ain't fair to him. I'm going to give him a C and you a C because he just ain't fair. I said, well, would you study hard next time? And please know, I know there's people that are handicapped, people that have sicknesses, and them are the people we should help. If I got an A then and that guy needs a B to make a living, I would give my, you know, go down and go to there. I would give them people. But the Lord, it's supposed to come through the church. And you know, if the church did it, just like our food pantry down here, what's the overhead in the food pantry? The food pantry, electricity is paid by the church through tithes. A lot of the food is donated. The time is donated. So I would say 98% of, or 95, whatever the cost, I don't know the figure, but it's a very high percentage of what the money that's put in there goes right back out the door to help people. You know what the average for welfare in this country, how much out of every dollar gets to the people? 30 cents on the dollar. 70% goes to administration. 70% goes to the executive and his staff and his pensions and everything else. So I know I'm getting a little bit off here, but he asked a good question.
Yeah, you need to keep this for tax time, please.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
thank you.
Anyhow, you know, I've enjoyed this. Take this out into the world. If there's one thing I that we don't let this die, in many churches, it's no important, but it's just as important as everything else in the Bible. And many churches are neglecting this in today's world. That's where my heart grieves. They got their excuses, and maybe in years gone by, just like I said, the church was preserved through the from the 300s to the 1600s on, but the Lord knew that wasn't the time. This is the time. And this is the time. This isn't a time we can ignore this part of the scripture. And I think you've seen from the scripture I showed you, there's going to be consequences if we ignore this. So this is the main thing I guess I would like to get out of this. And I thank you for indulging me with this. But it's from my heart. It's from what I think the Lord gave me. And if you didn't get to hear some of the last ones, I'd say you go back and listen. A lot of this stuff in succession would mean a lot more to you. So
will you stay up here real quick?
Yeah.
Before we go, yeah, give him a hand. Awesome. Thank you very much. Well done. Oh, you're a little sweaty.
Yeah, well, I get
welcome
excited.
To the preaching.
Yeah.
Welcome to preaching. Come on. I got to get you one of my little towels that I have. Before we go, we were promised from Mrs. Allard who the Antichrist would be. So we're waiting for that.
What is it, Connie?
Who is it, Miss Connie? Who's the Antichrist? Don't answer.
There.
I just hope nobody here ever finds out who the Antichrist is because you do not want to be here.
That's right.
Because when he is revealed, we want to be gone. Otherwise, you're going to be going through tribulation.
The enemy is slowly making a system for him right now by you getting you so dependent on anything but Jesus Christ. He's going to come to a point where you're going to totally depend on him and a lot of people are going to fall for it. So the system is beginning stronger and stronger in place like no other time in history. So,
Ross, do me a favor before we go. Pray for us. Pray for God and godly wisdom. Pray that we awaken to this, that we're able to search the scriptures, that this become important to us.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, God has given you a heart for this and a knowledge for this and wisdom for that. Will you pray for us to receive the same?
Father God, first of all, I thank you, Lord. I thank you that you put in your word these things that we can glean. You didn't leave it us to guess, Lord. You put it in here plainly, Lord. And if we have a heart, you've shown me in my life that if you want to know these things, he will reveal them, Lord. So I pray that you put that same heart in each and every one in this room, Lord. What a dynamic group this could be if they would go out with the same heart, Lord. And Lord, I pray that we're not caught unaware. I pray that we're the Church of Philadelphia, Lord. I pray that we are the ones, Lord, that you choose among others, Lord. I pray it spreads across the whole nation, Lord. But I pray this is one of the churches, Lord, that you use in these times, for we were called for such a time as this. I pray that you be with each and every one in here, that give them the strength to go through these times that are come upon this nation and this world, Lord. And I pray, Lord, if it your will, Lord, that this nation would have one more revival, Lord, one more time when we could reach as many people as we can before these things do befall us, Lord. So I pray that with all sincerity. I thank you for all the hearts in here that came and took the time to listen, Lord. I pray that you repay them with an anointing and a blessing, Lord, that would let them know and understand and have a heart and a passion to get these things out to people, Lord, and that they could retain them in their heart. Now, as they go out into the world, Lord, to do your will, I pray you protect them from all the evil one. For as I started out to say, Lord, the evil one does not want this to be known, Lord. He works best stealthily, Lord. When his people don't know, Lord, that's when he can take advantage of them, Lord. Once they know and go to their knees and pray, there's a power that no one can stop, Lord, and that's the only power no one can stop. So we pray that you give that anointing, you give that passion, and you give that blessing to each and every one here as they go. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.